Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we sift through the sources to bring you the most critical insights, perfectly distilled for you. Today, we're diving into an often overlooked yet absolutely crucial business skill. And we're doing it through a really refreshing lens, change management in pubs.
Pubs. Yeah, I know. It sounds maybe a bit specific at first glance.
Right. But hear me out. Our source for this deep dive, it takes these, you know, sometimes complex change management models, strips away all the corporate jargon, and really grounds them in the day-to-day grit of running a local pub.
Exactly. And what's great is that it reveals these surprisingly fresh, practical insights, stuff you can use to make changes actually stick wherever you work.
Yeah, not just theory, but how to avoid chaos when things shift.
That's really the mission today. We want to translate those established frameworks, Cotter's, Lowen's, AD Care, all the big names, into, well, genuinely actionable strategies.
So not just what good change management looks like.
No, but how you actually implement it. So changes are, you know, embraced, not resisted. So they lead to real sustainable improvements.
And our guide for this is, as you said, grounded. It's this comprehensive field guide applying these big ideas directly to pub realities.
Things like rolling out a new menu or maybe a tricky tech upgrade, like a new POS system. It's all about seeing these models work on the ground floor.
So whether you're navigating change in a huge company, a tiny startup, or even just trying to get your local pub team on board with something new, the insights we're about to share, they should really give you actionable strategies, things that cut through the noise.
Let's dig in.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. Running a pub, it's not just pulling pints and keeping the crisps stocked, is it?
Not at all. It's dynamic. It's always evolving. You're constantly adapting.
Right. New menus, different POS systems, maybe renovations, staff changes.
It's a nonstop cycle, really. Constant adjustment.
And because change is so constant, the stakes for getting it right or wrong are incredibly high.
Oh, absolutely. Done badly. It can completely drain morale.
Yeah.
Your team just feels beaten down. And it can alienate your regulars, too. The ones who hate surprises.
Definitely.
And, well, ultimately, it can wreck your margins.
Yeah.
Bad change costs money, but done well.
That's the flip side.
Exactly. Done strategically, it can energize teams, boost trade, and really future-proof the business. Make it resilient.
And here's where it gets really interesting. There's this statistic from McKinsey & Company. Apparently, 70% of organizational change projects fail.
70%. Wow. It's a staggering number.
It really is. And pubs, you know, they seem simple on the surface, but they're not immune. It makes you wonder, why? What's going wrong so often?
It's a great question. And our source really digs into why change derails, not just in pubs, but, you know, in lots of places.
It's usually not the idea itself, right?
Really. More often, it's a breakdown in the human element. Think about it. A pub wants a new stock system to cut waste. Good idea. But maybe the staff weren't consulted. So they feel ambushed, they resist, or the communication about why it's happening is rushed.
Right.
People get confused, rumors start.
Right, the grapevine goes wild.
Exactly. Or maybe the regulars weren't considered at all. They walk in, everything's different, no warning. That leads to backlash.
Yeah, lost loyalty.
And maybe the most common thing, those early successes, the quick wins, they aren't celebrated. So motivation just fizzles out. People drift back to the old ways.
So it's a cascade of these human factors, not just a bad plan.
Precisely.
Okay, so we know why it often goes wrong. Let's talk about how to get it right. Our source starts with Lowen's model. Unfreeze, change, refreeze. Sounds simple, but how does it work in a pub?
It's elegant, really. Stage one, unfreeze. This is all about creating that urgency, preparing people for the shift.
Okay.
So imagine Sunday roast sales are dropping.
Yeah.
The landlord doesn't just ignore it. They share the numbers with the staff. Openly.
Right. Get it out there.
They get there's a problem.
Yeah.
Explain why trying something new, maybe a different menu approach, is necessary. It's about tackling complacency head on.
Building that shared understanding that things need to change.
Exactly. Breaking down that we've always done it this way mentality.
That makes sense for getting the team on board. But what's the trickiest bit of unfreezing in a busy pub? Is it like getting the owner to admit something's not working or getting the long-serving staff to accept it?
Often, it's getting staff to let go of the old ways, overcoming those ingrained habits, that comfort zone.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, I can see that.
People like routine. Asking them to unlearn something can feel threatening, almost like you're saying they were doing it wrong.
So it needs empathy.
Absolutely. Empathy and clear data. Showing, not just telling, why the status quo isn't working anymore.
Okay, so you've unfrozen things, then comes the change stage.
Right. This is where you test and implement the new solutions. But carefully.
Not throwing everything out at once.
Definitely not. Using our Sunday roast example, you wouldn't just launch a massive new menu. Maybe you'd run a smaller, controlled trial, like a roast in a pint special offer for a couple of weeks.
A pilot.
Exactly. Get feedback, see what works, refine it. It's the experimental phase.
And then, assuming the trial works,
Then you refreeze. The new way becomes the standard way. If the roast in a pint offer is a hit, you standardize it.
oh.
Train the whole team properly. Lock in the standard operating procedures, the SOPs, for prep, for service. Update the menus officially.
So the successful change becomes the new routine.
Precisely. It gets solidified into how the pub operates day to day.
Okay, Lewin gives us that high-level view, but sometimes you need more detail, right? It's a step by step. Our source brings in Cotter's 8 steps for that.
Yeah, Cotter's is fantastic for a more detailed roadmap,
Bunk.
especially for bigger changes. It breaks it down logically.
So walk us through it in a pub scenario. Step one.
Step one, create urgency. You need a compelling reason, like the landlord saying, "Look, we're losing 300 pounds a week from bad stock control. We have to fix this."
Makes it real, tangible.
Exactly. Step two, form a guiding coalition. Don't try to do it alone. Get key people on board, the experienced cellar hand, the sharp bar supervisor, the chef who hates waste. Get them aligned.
A team effort from the start.
Crucial. Step three, develop a vision and strategy. Where are you heading? Make it clear. Zero wastage in the cellar within 3 months. Simple, measurable.
Gives everyone a target.
Right. Step four, communicate the vision over and over. Shift briefings, WhatsApp group posters, hammer it home.
Not just a one-off memo.
No way. Step five, empower action. This is vital. Remove barriers. Let staff act. If someone sees a dodgy keg, they need the authority to deal with it right then, not wait for permission.
Bill's ownership.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Step six, generate quick wins. Celebrate successes early. Wastage drops by 50 pounds the first week. Shout about it. Recognize the effort.
Kicks morale up.
Massively.
Yeah.
Step seven, consolidate gains and produce more change. Don't stop there. Roll the new waste training to ongoing inductions. Keep looking for improvement.
Build momentum.
Yeah. And finally, step eight. Anchor new approaches in the culture. Make it the new normal. This is how we manage stock now. This is our standard. It becomes part of the pub's DNA.
That's a really comprehensive approach for the whole team. But, you know, sometimes change fails because one or two key individuals just don't buy in.
That's so true. Organizational change ultimately happens person by person.
So, how do you manage that individual resistance or reluctance?
That's where the 80KM model comes in.
Mm.
It focuses specifically on the individual journey through change.
80KR. What does that stand for?
It's an acronym. Awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and reinforcement.
Okay, let's take an example. Say, moving the staff rota to a new app. How would AidaCare apply?
Right. First, awareness. Staff need to know why the change is happening. Is the old system inefficient? Does the app offer benefits? Explain the rationale clearly.
They need the why.
Exactly. Then, desire. You need to build their personal motivation, what's in it for them. Maybe the app gives them fairer shifts, easier swaps, more notice. You have to answer that why, what's in it for me?
Spark their interest.
Next, knowledge. Provide the how-to. Proper training on the new Rota software. Hands-on sessions, not just watching a demo.
Let them actually use it.
Yes. Which leads to ability. They need the chance to practice, build confidence, and demonstrate they can use the new system effectively. Maybe let them try swapping shifts in the app during a quiet period.
Get comfortable with it.
Right. And finally, critically, reinforcement. You have to sustain the change. Recognize and reward those who are using the new system well. A simple thanks for using the app or positive feedback can make a huge difference. Without it, people can drift back.
It really focuses on that individual journey, doesn't it? Making sure each person has what they need to make the shift.
Precisely. Because if individuals don't change, the organization doesn't change.
Even with these great frameworks, though, change initiatives still hit snags. Let's be realistic. People naturally resist sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Habits are powerful things.
Especially in pubs. You know, places often steeped in tradition. I can just picture trying to convince regulars of their favorite ale needs changing, or telling staff the cellar layout they've used for 10 years isn't efficient anymore.
It's a huge challenge. And you're right, the source material and wider research, like the UK hospitality reports, points to common psychological barriers. Things like fear of incompetence.
Like, I won't be able to learn this new thing.
Exactly. Or a sense of loss of control. Someone else is deciding my shifts now.
Yeah.
And those unexpected ripple effects. One change causing chaos elsewhere.
Can you give pub examples of those?
Sure. Loss of control, bar staff worrying, I won't get a say in my shifts anymore when a new digital rota comes in. They feel their autonomy is gone.
Right.
Competence fear. The experienced seller hands thinking, what if I mess up this new online ordering system? I look stupid.
That fear of looking foolish.
It's powerful. And ripple effects. Maybe the kitchen changes a garnish slightly. Seems small. But suddenly the bar staff are getting confused food tickets, allergy queries they can't answer. It throws their whole rhythm off.
It really shows how interconnected everything is in a place like a pub.
Totally. A small change can have big unforeseen consequences if you don't think it through.
So given these very real human fears, what are the practical ways landlords or managers can actually overcome these barriers? How do you get people past the fear?
The source is really clear on this. First, consult early. Don't just announce a change. Involve staff before decisions are made. Ask for their input on rota ideas or menu tweaks.
Makes them feel heard, gives them ownership.
Exactly. Second, train properly, not just a quick rundown. Short, focused sessions. Real examples. Let them practice, maybe repeat the training.
Tailor it to different learning styles too, perhaps.
Ideally, yes. And critically, celebrate success. Catch people doing things right. Highlight improvements quickly. Hey everyone, thanks to the new seller checks, wastage is down this week.
Reinforces the positive. Shows it's working.
It builds momentum and proves the effort is worthwhile.
Okay, let's get super practical. If a landlord, or any manager really, wants to implement a change tomorrow, what's the step-by-step playbook?
It needs structure. First, set SMART objectives. We've heard it before, but it works. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound.
So not just improve service.
No. More like reduced average table turn time during peak hours by 10% within 6 weeks by implementing handheld ordering devices. See? Clear. Trackable.
Got it. What's next?
Assign roles. Use something like the RCI model. Responsible, accountable, consulted, informed.
RCI? How does that work?
It clarifies who does what. So for our ordering device example, bar manager is responsible for training staff. Landlord is accountable for the overall success and budget. Staff are consulted on device usability. Maybe the device supplier is informed of progress.
Avoids confusion about who's meant to be doing what.
Exactly. Third, plan communications. Think about what needs communicating, who needs to know, and how you'll tell them.
Multiple channels.
Yes. WhatsApp for quick updates, team meetings for discussion, back office posters for reminders. Tailor the channel to the message.
Okay. SMART goals, RACI roles, comms plan. What else?
Manage resistance. Actively anticipate it. Have one-on-one chats with people who seem hesitant or are voicing concerns. Listen, understand their perspective.
Don't just dismiss the doubters.
No, engage with them. Sometimes your biggest critics can become advocates if you address their concerns properly.
And finally,
celebrate quick wins. We keep coming back to this, but it's so important. Offer immediate rewards. A round of drinks after hitting the first week's target. A team meal. Small things make a big difference to morale.
That's a solid checklist. In your experience, though, which step do people most often skip or mess up?
I'd say it's often managing resistance and celebrating wins. Mm-hmm. People tend to avoid difficult conversations about resistance, hoping it'll go away.
Which it usually doesn't.
Right. And then they get so focused on the end goal, they forget to acknowledge the small steps forward, and people lose steam.
Yeah.
Those human touches are critical.
Right. So you've got the plan, you're anticipating barriers. But pub teams, they often like routine. How do you keep motivation high when you're deliberately disrupting that routine?
Yeah, that's key. Understanding what motivates people helps. Our source mentions Cialdini's principles of influence, which are really useful here.
Cialdini, like the psychology of persuasion.
Exactly. Think about commitment and consistency. Get staff to agree to a small first step. And can you just try using the new till system for your next shift? Once they commit to that small thing, they're more likely to stick with it.
Interesting. What else?
Social proof. People are influenced by what others do. So highlight other pubs that have successfully made a similar change. Or point out team members who are already using the new system well. Look how much quicker Sarah is serving now.
Creates a bit of positive peer pressure.
In a good way, yes. And reciprocity. If staff are putting in extra effort bending their routines for this change, acknowledge it. Give something back.
Like that free pint or team meal you mentioned?
Exactly. A small gesture of thanks can really foster goodwill and make people feel appreciated for their flexibility.
That makes sense for the bigger changes. But what about fostering a culture where small everyday improvements just happen? Continuous improvement.
Now you're talking about Kaizen. That philosophy of small, ongoing improvements. It's incredibly powerful in a pub setting.
Kaizen in a pub? How's that look?
It's about empowering everyone to look for tiny efficiencies every day. Maybe a bartender reorganizes the glassware slightly to save a few steps per drink.
Okay.
Or the cellar team tweaks the layout for faster keg changes. Or someone suggests a better way to manage bin collections to cut waste. It's driven by the team on the ground.
Small tweaks adding up.
Exactly. And you can support this with systems like the 5S method adapted for the pub.
5S. Sort, set in order.
That's the one. Sort, get rid of clutter. Old POS slips, broken glasses, expired stock. Bin it, set in order. A place for everything, everything in its place. Label shelves, organize the spirit rails logically.
Makes things quicker, easier to find.
Right. Shine. Keep things clean, but also use cleaning as inspection. Notice that leaky tap while you wipe down the bar. Standardize. Create simple, consistent ways of doing routine tasks. A checklist for opening duties, a standard way to garnish drinks.
Everyone does it the same way.
Reduces errors, improves consistency. And finally, sustain. Make it stick. Use checklists, do regular walkthroughs, keep talking about it, make it part of the daily routine.
So 5S isn't just for factories. It can make a bar run smoother.
Absolutely. It creates an organized, efficient environment where continuous improvement can actually happen.
We've talked a lot about the team, the internal stuff, but what about arguably the most important people in a pub, the customers, especially the regulars? They hate surprises.
Oh, you are spot on there. This is so often overlooked until there's a problem. Communicating with customers during change is absolutely vital.
What kinds of changes need communication?
Anything that affects their experience. Changes to opening hours, obviously, a big refurb, a new menu trial, even just changing the quiz night host.
Right. So how do you tell them effectively?
Use multiple channels. In the pub, posters are essential near the door, at the bar. Table talkers explaining the change. And crucially, brief your staff. Give them a simple script so they can answer questions confidently.
They're the front line.
Absolutely. And online. Use your social media. Create a Facebook event for the grand reopening after a refurb. Post Instagram updates showing progress. Put a clear banner on your website.
Keep them in the loop wherever they look.
Exactly. And the tone is important, too. Our source suggests keeping it aligned with your pub's personality. Maybe cheeky but clear.
Cheeky but clear? Like what?
Instead of a formal notice like, close for refurbishment, maybe a sign saying, hold your horses. We're getting a facelift. Back looking gorgeous on May 12th. Expect better loose and colder beer.
Huh. I like that. Sets expectations, keeps it light.
Exactly. It manages expectations, maintains your brand voice, and can even build a bit of excitement. Turns a potential annoyance into something to look forward to.
Okay, talking about theory is one thing. Let's look at some real-world examples from the source. Pubs that actually nailed change management.
Yeah, these case studies really bring it to life. First up, the Red Lion in the Midlands. They had a big cellar wastage problem. Instead of just forcing a new stock system on everyone, they involved the cellar team in trialing it first.
Smart, using that consultation principle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They got feedback, tweaked the system based on what the team said, trained everyone properly. Result, wastage cut by 25%. And the team felt valued, part of the fix.
Great result.
What else? The Ship Inn, down on the South Coast. They wanted to revamp their Sunday roast, always risky.
Very risky.
So they trialed the new menu ideas with regulars first. Small groups, gather feedback, make adjustments. Only then did they roll out the changes permanently.
Involving the customer directly.
Yes. Made the regulars feel special, invested, and it worked. Sunday roast covers went up by 40%.
Wow, that's significant.
One more. The King's Arms up north. They had loads of grief over staff rotas, constant disputes, unhappiness.
Common problem.
Very. They tackled it using the 80KR model specifically. Explain the awareness, why change. Show the desire, fair shifts for them. Gave knowledge, app training. Let them practice ability, and then reinforce the new behavior.
Really walking people through it individually.
Exactly. And the outcome. Rota disputes dropped by a massive 70%. Much happier team. It shows how focusing on that individual journey pays off.
Those are fantastic examples. It really proves these frameworks aren't just academic.
Not at all. They deliver tangible results when applied thoughtfully.
Well, what a deep dive that was. I think the key takeaway for me is just how practical this all is. Change management isn't some, you know, high-level corporate thing.
No, it's fundamental.
It's a vital skill for any operation, big pub chain, tiny microbrewery, corner cafe, tech startup. It's about making transitions smoother.
Keeping teams happier, definitely.
And ultimately getting better results. Avoiding that 70% failure rate.
Absolutely. The pubs, and any business really, that get good at managing change, they don't just survive turbulence, they genuinely thrive because of it.
They become more adaptable, more resilient.
Exactly. The goal is simple, really. Make changes stick. Make them work for the business, the team, and the customers.
So the final thought for you, listening.
Yeah.
What does this all mean for you? Think about a change you're dealing with right now, maybe at work, maybe even a personal habit. Could applying just one small principle we talked about, maybe building urgency first, or properly consulting someone, or just remembering to celebrate a tiny win, could that make the difference?
With one small unfreeze you could start today, perhaps. One tiny shift in approach.
Something to think about. How can you make your next change initiative truly stick?